getting better every week, amen? This morning, I'm starting a new series, and understand that when we pick out worship songs, we want it to go with whatever message. We want everything to go. There's a reason why we do something, right? And the series is called Who I Am in Christ. And several weeks ago, I was trying to pray, and you know, usually I sit down before the year starts and I will start going through some things and figuring out, okay, what are going to be the series that I'm going to do over the next several, you know, for the year. And I try to plan out a year and try to get some direction of where I wanted to go. For whatever reason, I can't explain. I don't know if it's because I was extremely busy at the end of the year or what happened, but I never was able to sit down and do that. And so I've been just kind of, I felt like God's just a little out of time giving me something for this year. And so as I was trying to figure out, God, what is it you want for this church? What is it you want for this church this year? And one of the things that kept coming that I felt like God was giving me was a word of identity. We live in a world that does not know who they are. Right? We hear about it all the time. It's in the media. Whether it's in transgender, whether it's in figuring out, you know, am I a person or a dog or a cat? And I'm not making fun or light of anyone. But identity has become a big question in the last few years. And I just want to say this. I want us to understand that there is a big difference between what people call you, right? What life has done to you and what God says about you. There's a big difference. And it's something that we need to understand. Some people, they've been labeled by their failures, their divorce, their addiction, insecurities, depression, mistakes, shame, their past, and what someone else did to them. And let me just say this. I have a heart for those that are in the life of addiction, whether it's alcohol or I've never had a struggle with. I don't understand. I've never drank. I've never done drugs. And I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying I don't understand allowing a substance to control you. But my heart goes out to them because they. And I know that there are some good programs out there, but one of the things that I don't like is that they always say, I'm an alcoholic. Can I tell you that if you've given your life to Jesus, that past does not define you. Jesus has redefined who you are. And I understand it's their program, I get that, but if you have come to the point that you have asked Jesus into your heart, you are no longer who you once were, but you are a new person. You are a new creation. And I believe that if we're not careful, then we start living out of labels that God never gave us. Amen? And so that's why this new series is so important. And over the next few weeks, we're going to answer some of the most, I believe, most important questions that a believer can ask. Today, we're going to ask the question, who am I in Christ? Next week, who has God called me to be at home? What is my role in the church another week? And how do I discover my calling? How do I balance work, family, and ministry? And these are some things that we're going to talk about. Because if you don't know who you are, you'll never fully walk in what God called you to do. And before we can talk about being a godly husband or wife, being a godly father or mother, being a faithful servant in the church, being a witness in the workplace, we have to settle the foundational question, who am I now that I belong to Jesus? That's the question that all of us have to ask. And see, that's where Paul takes us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But before we read that, I want to show you a man in the Old Testament, and I believe that he perfectly illustrates this struggle. And so his name is Gideon. Anybody ever heard of Gideon? And so when we meet Gideon, he's hiding in fear. He's living under oppression. He's feeling weak. He's talking small. He even says at one point, "Who am I? I'm the smallest dude in the tribe. I'm the most insignificant person in this tribe." And he addresses himself that way. But God walks into Gideon's hiding place. He's hiding in the wine press. And he starts speaking to him based on heaven's perspective, not Gideon's present condition. And that's exactly what happens when you come to Christ. God doesn't just forgive your sin, but he gives you a new identity. Amen? And so if you have your Bibles, first go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. If you want to, you can also go over there and hold your place in the book of Judges, chapter 6. And we're going to be reading from chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. Before we read this passage, I want you to understand this. Paul is not writing, when he writes in 2 Corinthians, he's not writing to people who need a little encouragement, okay? Or a better version of themselves. That's not who he's writing to. He's writing to people who need to understand what salvation actually does. And so when Jesus saves you, he doesn't just clean up your behavior, right? A lot of us, we think that, well, I'm saved, so I'm going to change my behavior. He doesn't just patch up your brokenness. We know of people that have come to Christ because they were broken, they were hurt, they were in whatever way. And he doesn't come to just give you a religious routine. We don't come here on Sundays just because it's part of our routine, amen? We have more reasons to come. We have reasons why we come. Jesus gives you a brand new identity, and that means all those old labels that you have allowed to label you, they don't get the final word. They don't determine who you are. Your past does not define your future. And so what God says about you in Christ is greater than what life has tried to call you. And so listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to start reading at verse 17. You may know this. You may know this passage. And so just listen to this this morning. It says, therefore. I love that word. What that means is basically he said all this, and so he's continuing. And so he's speaking to him. He's telling him, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. What's the next one say? The old has what? It's gone. It's gone. You are a new creation in Christ. The new is here, and all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This passage is talking about our identity in Christ. You want to know who you are? This passage right here, it tells you exactly who you are. I'm just going to kind of expound on it a little bit, if that's okay, this morning. I want you to get a full picture of who you are in Christ. Who are we when we become a Christian? And I think some people wonder that. Well, I'm this Christian now. What am I supposed to do? Who am I? What does that mean? What does it exactly mean? Every one of us must understand that we don't live for Christ until we understand that we have been made new in Christ. You hear me? We don't live for Christ until we understand that we have been made new in Christ. So who you were before is not who you are now. Think about who you were before you came to Christ. That's not who you were. That's not who you are anymore. You're not that person anymore. And this morning I want to give you three understandings of what God has called you to be. Okay? Number one, God has called you to be a new creation. How many of you remember the first time you asked Jesus to be your Savior? Do you remember that day? Oh, I do. I was a little guy. I've told y'all this story probably many a times. I was 4 years old, I think I was four. It was a revival service on like a Monday or Tuesday night in our old church, the old sanctuary there at Russellville. And it was one of those sanctuaries. It wasn't round like the new one is or like this one is. It was one of those that was long, you know, and it had, I think, four sets of pews in it. And so there was a center aisle, and then there was the two middle center aisles or whatever, and then the two outside aisles. We always sat, I'm going to tell myself, we always sat on this far side. You know what was on this far side? There was an outside door. Y'all know what that outside door was for? It was for me. So when I started misbehaving, my dad would yank me up, walk out that side door, and I would learn real quick to start acting right. But we always sat over there, and I remember, I don't remember a thing the pastor said. I was little, you know, I was probably being my normal self, but I do remember he gave a salvation call, and he said, if you'd like to be saved, you know, raise your hand. Well, as a kid, I'm like, well, yeah, I want to be saved, right? I want to make sure that I'm going to make it to heaven, you know, and I mean, I fully understood everything, but I came down to pray with my dad down at the altar, just like I did many times. Even if I didn't know anything about the sermon, I always came down to the altar just to pray, right? You know, that's what you do. And that's what we did. We came down, we prayed. If I wasn't asleep under the pew, you know, but came down, and the evangelist came over. And he knelt down beside me and he said, did you mean that when you raised your hand? I said, I shook my head. Like I'm terrified. You know, this preacher's coming to talk to me, you know. And I shook my head, yes. And he goes, well, all right. And he led me in the sinner's prayer. I don't know the man's name. All I know is I was real young and I remember like it was yesterday. I can see it in my mind. And I know that was the day that I asked Jesus into my heart. Trust me, I was still a young, rambunctious, beautiful little boy that Jesus loved really well and had lots of patience with. But I remember that day. I remember the day that I asked Jesus. And can I just say that salvation's not a behavior modification. It's not self-help. It's not a cleaned up version of the old you. But it is a brand new identity in Christ. Look at verse 17 again. It says, if anyone is in who? Christ. The new creation has come. The old has what? Gone. Thank the Lord, amen. The new is here. You are not improved. You're not slightly adjusted. You're not spiritually renovated. But what you are is you are made new. You're brand new. Everything about the old life, the guilt, the chains, the shame, the labels, that old mindset, every bit of it does not get the final word. Amen? And so I mentioned Gideon in my introduction with one encounter with God. I mean, he became a completely different person. Go with me to Judges chapter 6. We're gonna bounce back and forth between our text and Judges chapter 6. I want you to get this. I want you to see the transformation that takes place in Gideon's life. Look at verse 11, chapter 6, verse 11. It says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midians. What's he doing? He's hiding in the wine press. He's hiding out because the Midians, the enemy, were there. They were just trying to keep them down. And verse 12 says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. There's something different about this, right? There's a contradiction here that's taking place. Gideon's hiding out, but God calls him a mighty warrior. Does that look like a mighty warrior? He's sitting there hiding. Gideon, he's feeling small. But God speaks about strength. You're a mighty warrior. Gideon's in a wine press, but God is speaking to him as if he belongs on a battlefield. Why is that? It's because God is not speaking to Gideon based on his location. God is not speaking to Gideon based on his fear. God is not speaking to Gideon based on his insecurity. God is not speaking to Gideon based on his current behavior. However, God was speaking to Gideon based on what he intended to make him. Amen? And that's what happens in Christ. You may not be standing in your own pile of rubble of your old life, but if you are in Christ, heaven no longer addresses you by your past. Amen? You are a new creation in Christ. And so we must, as believers, start living like it. We need to stop addressing yourself by your worst mistake. Stop addressing yourself by your deepest wound. Stop addressing yourself by your current struggle. Stop addressing yourself by your past season. Because if you are in Christ, then you are forgiven. You are made new. You are not who you used to be. Amen? Now, God may have found you in a wine press, but he never intended to leave you there. You are new. God has called you to be new. Second thing, God's called you to be reconciled to God. Your identity, it begins with relationship. Think about this. Imagine a child who's grown up in an orphanage, and every day they're told, you have to prove yourself. You have to earn love. You're only worth something if you perform. And then one day a family comes and says, we are adopting you. You don't have to earn it. You are ours. You belong to us. Everything about that child's life changes. The child's identity shifts immediately, not because of what they did or how well they behaved, but because of the relationship. They are now a son or daughter, fully accepted and fully loved. And I want us to understand, this is exactly how God works with us. Your identity in Christ is not built on your performance. Aren't we glad? If it was up to my performance, I would fail miserably every single time. My identity in Christ is not built on my past or my mistakes, but it begins with a relationship. You are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. You don't have to earn it. You are his child, amen? And that relationship defines who you are. 2 Corinthians 5, my text, look at verse 18. All this is from God, who did what? He reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Before you are a servant, a leader, a volunteer, a spouse, a parent, or a church member, you are someone who has been brought near to God. We must understand who we are. Reconciled means the distance that once was there between you and God has now been closed. That distance is no longer there. Sin separates us from God, right? When we had sin in our life, we were separated from God. But whenever we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior and we asked Jesus to come into our heart, then that closed the gap. It means that we were reconciled. Reconciled means the hostility that once was there between you and God has now been removed. And I want to thank you, Lord, for this one. Amen. The relationship that is there between you and God has now been restored. Amen. You are not trying to earn God's love. You are living from God's love because God loved you. You are not serving for acceptance, but you are serving from acceptance. And look at Gideon again. This is in verse 15 and 16 of chapter 6. It says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? God's speaking to him. He's terrified. He's standing in the, who am I? You, who? A mighty warrior? That's not me. Look at him. Verse 15. Pardon me, my Lord, but how can But how can I save Israel? Look at this. He starts making excuses. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am in the least in my family. Look, God's already set him apart. He's already told him who he was. And the Lord answered, I love this, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. In other words, God said, I don't care about your excuses, who you think you once were. I am telling you right now that I have set you apart to be who I've called you to be. You're a mighty warrior. I'm changing your identity. Now go a few verses later, verse 22. It says, when Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. I want you to get this. This is huge. Before Gideon ever wins a battle, before Gideon tears down Baal's altar, before Gideon leads 300 men, he has an encounter with the presence of God. And God says to Gideon, I'm going to be with you. Peace is going to be with you. God is speaking into his life. God is telling him, we got this. It's going to be okay. And so Gideon's assignment was never meant to flow from self-confidence. God didn't wait for Gideon to finally say, ooh, I'm confident in myself. I can do this. It's not what he was doing. No, he was telling before he ever got his self-confidence. It was meant to flow from God's presence. It was because God's presence was with him that Gideon was able to go and do what God was calling him to do. That's what reconciliation is. We're in God's presence. God is working. He's flowing in us. Our confidence is not, I can do this. Our confidence is, God is with me. Amen? That's our confidence. I can go be who I am in Christ. I know who my identity is, and I can stand firm in that confidence knowing that God has placed me up, set me apart, and given me who I am supposed to be. There is no performance that you can do to perform your way into God's favor. There's nothing you can do. You can't be the best musician to try to earn God's favor. You can't be the best greeter or the best kids person or the best safety person. You can't do any of those things to earn God's favor. It's already there. God loves you. He cares for you. He wants the best for you. And some of us, we live like we are spiritual employees. We're always trying to prove ourselves. And some of us are afraid that we are just not enough. What do we sing today? I'm not enough unless what? You come. I need to be in the presence of God so that I can be all that God has called me to be. That's my identity. My identity is who God has called me to be. Not what anybody else calls me to be. Not what my past says I am. I am who God says I am. That's who I am. That's my identity. And how many of you always feel behind? You ever feel behind? I know I do. There's some days that I'm just like, and I have to go and I have to do a reset, if you would. And I have to go say, okay, Lord, I'm struggling today. Right? Am I the only one that struggles? I do. I have to go get a reset sometime. And I have to say, Lord, I am struggling today. And I need you more today than I did yesterday. It's not that I didn't need him the day before. It's just today is, for whatever reason, I'm struggling. Whether I'm being attacked by the enemy, whether I'm just having a bad day, whether I got up on the wrong side of the bed, whatever it is, Lord, today I need to know more today that I'm who you've called me to be, because I'm struggling. You have been reconciled in Christ. Peace has been spoken over your life. And so before God ever gives you an assignment, he gives you his presence. Lord, I just want to be in your presence so that I can do the assignment that you've given me. The last thing, number three, God has called you to be an ambassador. Your identity leads to your assignment. You are not just saved from something, you are saved for something. You hear what I'm saying? You're not just saved from hell. You're not just saved from death. You're not just saved from these. You are saved for something. You have a purpose. God has placed you here. He has a reason for you. Look at verse 20 of our text. It says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be what? Reconciled to God." Amen? What does an ambassador do? They carry the authority of another country, right? An ambassador speaks on behalf of another ruler. An ambassador represents another culture in a foreign land. That means at home, at work, in the church, in your neighborhoods, in your friendships, you represent Jesus. Right? You represent Jesus. As a Christian, you represent Jesus. My girls and us, we joke about this. You know, they're preachers' kids, have been preachers' kids, that's all they've ever known. And they're always talking about when people know they are a preacher's kid and they cuss around them, they start apologizing. "Oh, I'm so sorry. Why are you apologizing?" "Well, you're a preacher's kid." And they're like, "Don't apologize to me. Apologize to Jesus. You know, why are you apologizing? What do I have anything to do with it? You need to apologize to Jesus, you know." And so as a believer, you represent Jesus. That's who you are representing. And so Gideon, he has a radical change that takes place in his life. Judges 6, verses 25 through 20, in 25 through 27. What God's doing is he's telling Gideon to tear down the altar of Baal and build an altar to the Lord. And then in Judges chapter 7, verse 7, God tells Gideon that he will save him and his people with the 300 men that God gives him. I'm not going to go into all the details of how he got to 300 men. And then in verse 20 of chapter 7, Gideon is conquering the Midianites. So we see this in a few verses here, just boom, boom, boom. The story moves very quickly. And so we have to understand, when we first see Gideon, he's in the wine press. He's hiding out. He's like, "Hope they don't find me." You know, he's terrified. And so the man who once was in hiding, and at that point, he's not obeying God in public, right? I mean, he's "I'm the least of my tribe. How can I do this? My family don't even think I'm good." And then what next thing you know, he's taking the family idols and he's tearing them down. And then he's leading the people courageously. He's becoming a deliverer. Why do you think this is? It's because when God changes your identity, eventually he changes your assignment. You are no longer who you thought you were, but you are now who God has called you to be. Gideon became a visible representative of what happens when God takes an ordinary, insecure person and fills them with divine purpose. And so that's what an ambassador is. Every believer has a where. Where do you represent Christ? Your home, your marriage, your children, your workplace, your team, your neighborhood, your church. And you may not stand on a platform, but I want you to know that you are a representative of the King, amen? You don't need a title to carry kingdom authority. So what can you take from what Paul says in the life of Gideon? What can you take from that? Like Gideon, I believe some of you are still hiding in places that God is trying to call you out of. You're still hiding. You're still sitting there, I'm safe right here. I'm secure right here. I'm happy right here. If I open myself up, then I become vulnerable. That's all right. Step out into what God has for you. You know what? I've done it too. I've hid behind lots of things. Why? Because I don't want to open myself up and let people in. I want to keep the doors, the blinders on, because if I stay here, if I hide in the wine press, then I don't have to get hurt. If I stay out in the shadows, I don't have to get hurt. But what God is calling us to do is he's opening the doors and he's saying, step out into what I have for you. I have something far greater for you. Step out in the confidence that I want to give you. Some of you are still arguing with the identity that God has already spoken. Some of you are still defining yourselves by fear when God has called you by faith. And what does the gospel say? It says, I am a new creation. My past is not my identity. I am reconciled to God. I live from acceptance, not from it. I am an ambassador. I have purpose, assignment, and kingdom representation. God did not save you just to forgive you. God saved you to rename you. God saved you to restore you. God saved you to send you. And some of you this morning, you're still living in the wine press. You're hiding. You are still ashamed. You are stuck in old labels. You are afraid to step into what God has called you to be. But today, the Spirit of God is saying to you, you are not what you did. You are not what you said. You are not what you fear. You are not your failure. However, you are who God says you are in Christ. Amen? It's time that we as believers come out of the wine press, step into the identity that heaven has already spoken over you. We must be who Christ has called us to be. Can we stand all over this place this morning? I want you to repeat these words after me, and I want you to say it like you mean it. Don't just say words to say words. I want you to say it like you mean it. Think about what you're saying. I'm going to put it up there. Come on up. Repeat it after me. Say, I am a new creation. I can't hear you. We're going to say it again. I am a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. My past is forgiven. My shame is broken. My life is made new. I am reconciled to God. I am not distant. I am brought near. I don't live for approval. I live from acceptance. I am an ambassador for Christ. Really mean this one. I have purpose. Can we say it again? I have purpose. I have calling. I represent Jesus everywhere I go. I will not hide. I will not live in fear. I will not go back to who I was. I am who God says I am. And I will live like it. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you just lift up your hands? Yes, hallelujah. Father, we praise you today, God. We give you praise and glory. Lord, help us to understand that our identity, who we are, is who you said we are. We don't have to hear the outside noises. We don't have to hear those voices that say we are nothing, we are nobody. You're not worthy. Those voices are lies from the pits of hell. But we are who you say we are. And you said, I am new in you. That's who you said I am. You called me out on purpose. I don't have to hide in the wine press. I could be set free and walk in victory every single day. Because I am a child of God. Amen? I am a child of God. God calls me friend. Amen? And God, I love you. God, because I am who I am because you told me who I am. Amen. I am who I am because you called me out, because you set me free. And because of that, I can walk in victory. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Who am I in Christ? I am a new creation. All the old has gone, the new has come. And I walk in victory. And I walk in who you say I am. And I give you praise and glory and honor. Let's sing that friend of God. Let's sing that. Let's just sing this morning. Make this your prayer.